Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Title of my message this morning is Zacchaeus and the Kingdom. It's going to be kind of like a two-parter, I think. We return to the Gospel of Luke this morning, and we're beginning chapter 19. And we'll soon be working into the triumphal entry. We're getting close to Jerusalem. However, before we get to Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, we need to make a pit stop in Jericho. Jesus has been making his way to Jerusalem, intent on completing his mission of the cross. He's been stopping to talk to people, and specifically teaching his disciples about what was coming, the lessons they'll need to learn before the trauma of the cross. He knows what they're going to go through. He knows what he's going to go through, but what they're going to go through was paramount in his heart. This morning we see Jesus enter Jericho, approximately 16 miles from Jerusalem. It's located in a valley before the road begins the ascent up to Jerusalem, high up on the hill. Jericho was known as the City of Palms, like Fort Myers. And it was a specific place in history, but it was a specific place in geography as well. Everybody coming from the east or from the north going to Jerusalem would go through Jericho. So it became a strategic place. So let's dig into our text and see what we have here. He entered Jericho and was passing through. Dr. Luke gives us a little bit of specific information that often he doesn't. But there's a reason he gives us this specific information. Last week we saw there was a beggar, a blind beggar, that confronted Jesus as he approached Jericho. And here, Jesus is actually in Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So Dr. Luke tells us in two verses, we're in Jericho. And now we're going to be faced with this individual who was a chief tax collector, an important individual, notorious, if not famous. As we saw last week, Jericho is located on the main road to Jerusalem, connecting it to locations north and east. A lot of traffic would come through and around Jericho. All goods that were coming by land to Jerusalem from the north or from the east came through Jericho. People made their way to Jerusalem to worship came through Jericho. All along the road, there were commercial traffic that was bringing goods and supplies and people to Jerusalem. Tax collectors would be set up along the road. Income tax was not a thing. Their transport tax, their distribution tax. There was a tax on it. You wanted to walk down the street, there was a tax. Transit and road taxes were repeatedly collected. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. We're not told in how far a region, but I'm assuming in the region of Jericho. So he and his associates were responsible for collecting tax in and around Jericho. He was a servant of Rome, despite being a Jew. We've talked about tax collectors in the past. They were on the lowest rung of Jewish society because they were traitors to Israel as they worked for Rome to collect Roman taxes. Not collecting Jewish taxes, he's collecting Roman taxes. And so the Jews didn't like him a lot. The Romans didn't like them a lot because they recognized them to be traitors, because that's actually what they were. Quite often, tax collectors became wealthy, If you're the chief tax collector in a region, you not only are going to get a percentage of the taxes you collect, you're going to get a percentage of all your subordinates who collect taxes. So you're camped out on the roadway with a toll station collecting taxes. It's like being on the Maryland Turnpike. Have you ever driven the Maryland Turnpike? You can drive down the road. There are no ways to get on or get off when there's a toll booth. Drive down the way, down 5 miles or more. There's no way to get on or off. There's another toll booth. Hey, let's just collect it once. Why make us stop and collect again and again? But that's what's going on in this scene. That's the picture that Dr. Luke has painted for us. So here was this guy, wealthy, traitor to Israel, not trusted by Jerusalem, or by Rome. He got a percentage of everything that was going on around him. So he wasn't liked or trusted by anybody. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. I looked for a good version of the song to do for the opening. Yeah, I was looking for, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I looked for a good one, but it just, I couldn't. Yeah. I'm not allowed to use short people. Because when we first got phones that had the ability to put ringtones on, I did that on Linda's phone. Still hurts when I say it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm telling you right now, that song will be in your head the rest of the day. And every time you think of it, just chuckle a little bit, because I will be. Despite that kid's song, the reality of what Zacchaeus wanted is much more than what we see on the surface. Here was a Roman tax collector, an employee of the Roman Empire, wanting to see a Jewish Messiah. The Messiah, who the Jews thought was coming to fight Rome and remove Rome from them. You see the irony here? Here's a guy that's collecting taxes for Rome, wanting to see the guy that's going to kick Rome out and destroy his job. The Messiah would have been a real conflict for Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus wanted to see him. Perhaps he wanted to see if the Messiah was a threat to his way of life. But I don't think that really tracks with the rest of the information we're given in the passage. I believe I'll be able to demonstrate that Zacchaeus viewed Jesus as the Messiah in a more salvific manner than the traditional military Messiah the Jews anticipated. I think Zacchaeus saw something more and needed something more. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a tree along the path Jesus was headed, through town and toward Jerusalem. Jesus was intent on getting to Jerusalem. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and found a place that he could climb up so he could see him. He got ahead of the crowd. He got to the place where he could see what Jesus was doing. No indication that Zacchaeus intended to communicate with Jesus, just that he wanted to see him. Who is this guy, and what do I understand about him? Dr. Luke records that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus is. We've already seen the same situation in the Gospel of Luke before. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. We'll see it again in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. They were inquisitive about him. There's more to Herod and Zacchaeus wanting to see who Jesus is. Zacchaeus undoubtedly heard about Jesus. Everybody had heard about Jesus by this time. But what had he heard? Jesus had a growing reputation as one who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, fed the hungry, raised the dead, and many other messianic signs that they learned from the Old Testament the Messiah would be like. So they're beginning to put two and two together and recognize this guy could be the Messiah. Now their view of who the Messiah was wrong. But they were beginning to put two things together. In a few days, Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a white colt as people recognized him as the long-awaited military leader called the Messiah. Again, a false or an improper understanding of what the Messiah was. Then there was also this Rabbi Jesus who taught and preached the gospel message of the coming kingdom. All along the way, he's doing messianic miracles, but he's teaching about the kingdom. Jesus taught all about kingdom citizenship and kingdom behavior. His entire message was all about living in the kingdom. So Zacchaeus said, well, who is this guy? What was he really all about? Zacchaeus wanted to see him for himself, to see if he could tell what Jesus was all about. I think there's also an element of the Holy Spirit already working in the heart of Zacchaeus. We know that no one seeks after Jesus on their own. No one understands. No one seeks for God, the Apostle Paul would say. We only seek after God when the Holy Spirit moves us to seek after him. The faith we have to eventually follow Jesus is not inherent in you. You're a sinful wreck of a person. What's inherent in you is to follow Satan, not Jesus. It's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit was stirring Zacchaeus to seek out Jesus. So let's see how this plays out. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Song still playing in your head?
Zacchaeus, you come down.
That's right. How many times did we say that in Sunday school? Zacchaeus, you come down. As Jesus is making his way through Jericho, he comes to where Zacchaeus is up a tree. Jesus stops and calls Zacchaeus by name to come down. And he didn't say, hey, Munchkin, come down. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I got to stay in your house today. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Now he'll get the real opportunity to interact with Jesus and truly get to know him. Notice that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, for I must stay in your house today. The word must is the Greek word die, and it's used by Dr. Luke, includes an eschatological component. There's a salvific and eschatological component to the way Dr. Luke uses Jesus using this word. I must, because it is part of God's plan, it's part of the salvific plan for me to be with you today, for you to come to know me. That's all wrapped up in that word. Almost one half of the uses of this word in the New Testament is by Dr. Luke. Jesus has a sense of fulfilling an eternal purpose for God, or purpose of God for eternity, in stopping to speak to Zacchaeus. It is part of God's timeline that I stop in your house today and that you come to know who I am. That's why I said earlier that I think this is more than just wanting to know who the Messiah is. He wanted to know who the Savior was, the salvific Messiah. Jesus knew the future, which included Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to meet with him on that day because eternity demands it. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. The response of Zacchaeus exemplifies a proper response to God's call. We should respond quickly and do what he calls us to do. Not only should we respond quickly, we should also receive Jesus joyfully. We should not begrudgingly follow Jesus. We should be joyful and happy about following Jesus. Our faces should properly reflect our heart. How many forlorn, sad sack Christians do you know? Oh, me, my world is so bad. Now, granted, sometimes you got issues going on. Sometimes you, as Chuck talked about earlier, sometimes our psychology doesn't match up with our theology. But what God called us to do is to reflect Jesus and to be joyful about being His. That's not easy to do. I get it. You're facing cancer, you're facing a collapsing trachea with no mortal solution. You got to depend on God. It's hard to be joyful about that. But look at it this way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That ain't so bad. No. Kind of rough for us, but it ain't so bad, right? We need to think in those lines. We need to think about what God is doing and how much He promised us. And the joy of being a follower of Jesus. We should be joyful and happy about following Jesus, and our faces ought to reflect what our hearts properly feel. And when he saw it, or when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner. Just let those words sink in for a moment. Here are people accusing Jesus of going to be with a sinner. The infamous they. Who is they? Well, in this case, they is the crowd who constantly followed Jesus. The crowd was made up of Pharisees and other leaders and others who were against Jesus, and also people who wanted to know more about Jesus. So it's a mixture of people. It's the leadership who wanted to take Jesus down, but it's the rank and file of the community who wanted to know more about who this guy was that healed and fed and raised the dead. This crowd that in a few days would lay their coats on the road as Jesus the Messiah would come into town. They were upset that this outcast traitor had the attention of the Messiah, and the outcast traitor is Zacchaeus. A Roman sympathizer collecting, and they would argue, stealing money from them. What was this world coming to? You can see why they would be upset. How can this dirtbag who steals our money be in the presence of the Messiah? And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." We don't know when Zacchaeus said this to Jesus. Was it when the crowd complained? Murmur, murmur, murmur. Look, I'm doing what I can. I've restored it, and I'll give them back fourfold, and I don't want to cheat. Or was it later when he was with Jesus and Jesus had taught him more about kingdom behavior, kingdom theology? We're not given that information. We're just told that he said it. I kind of suspect it was probably later. I don't think Zacchaeus felt like he needed to justify himself to the crowd because he was lost to the crowd anyway. He didn't have a real desire to be liked by the crowd, doesn't appear. So I think probably was later, but we don't know. What Zacchaeus stood up and told Jesus was a demonstration of a far greater repentance than John the Baptizer preached in the Old Testament demanded. In Leviticus 5, the laws of restitution were given. The law mandated 20% over the original value of stolen property in order to make restitution. Zacchaeus was willing to do far greater than that. What caused him to do that? Think about what Zacchaeus was willing to do to repent and follow Jesus. He would give half of what he had to give it to the poor. He would then find the people that he had cheated and pay them back four times what he took from them. The Pharisees had taken the law of Moses and had greatly embellished it. The Pharisees said that in extreme cases, fourfold restitution was what was mandated. So he was keeping to the height of what the modern understanding of the law was for them. Leviticus said 20%. The Pharisees embellished that and said four times. So he went to the max. I'll give them back the max. Now, it wasn't what Scripture had said. It's what the Pharisees had interpreted. But he was willing to do that. He was serious about making things right. He seems to have accepted that he required the harsh punishment. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham." But what does Jesus mean by that? I think it's clear that Jesus accepted Zacchaeus as a repentant sinner. The Holy Spirit drew Zacchaeus to seek out Jesus. He ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see him. But Jesus already knew he needed to stay with Zacchaeus on that day to dialogue with him. Jesus knew that the Father had given Zacchaeus into Jesus' hands, and today was the day it would happen. What a contrast Zacchaeus was to the rich ruler who walked away rather than repent. What do I need to do to be saved, to have eternal life? Well, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. No. Zacchaeus is exactly the opposite. He's already started to do that. The rich ruler represented Jewish leadership who rejected Jesus. Well, Zacchaeus represented those who saw Jesus as the real salvific Messiah. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus articulated his mission message. He came to seek and to save the lost. We've been discussing for the last few weeks that Jesus was intent on fulfilling his mission of going to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. Saving the lost was more than having a conversation like he did with Zacchaeus. Saving the lost would require making it to Jerusalem and being executed on a Roman cross. It would require being buried and then raised from the dead in order for Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. He had to suffer and die. God's justice demanded the satisfaction of debt for salvation. God's grace demanded that he show some grace and mercy. Jesus had no sin of his own to pay for. He was fully God, fully man. So he was infinitely qualified to pay the price for all of our sins. So when Jesus says that the Son of Man, a messianic title, came to seek and to save the lost, Jesus knew what was coming to bring that about. He was completely focused on his mission, the very same mission that brought you salvation as well. The crowd believed Jesus' mission was to establish the kingdom and that it would soon come about. Even the disciples would ask those questions. Everyone wanted Rome expelled from Israel. Nobody wanted Rome there except those that were profiting off of being occupied by the Roman military. They sought freedom and prosperity, but Rome oppressed them. And as they went on, Rome oppressed them more and more. Zacchaeus was part of Rome's oppression of Israel. So he was rejected by the people of Israel, but not by Jesus. Jesus doesn't reject us because of what we've done. What we've done doesn't factor into Jesus' calculus of who we are. Zacchaeus was on the lowest rung of Jewish society. He was seen as a traitor by the Jews. He was regarded as a lowlife by the Romans. He stole money from his own people. Yet Jesus called him out of a tree and saw him repent. The Bible's filled with people who God saved and used despite their backgrounds. We're all enemies of God until we weren't. God calls us and gives us faith so we can repent. He then justifies and sanctifies you. God will preserve you until the day we die or that we're raptured out. He will then glorify us, making us fit for eternity. Of this truth, I have no doubt. But Jesus said that he must go to Zacchaeus' house on that day. It was determined and part of God's plan for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to be conflicted in this. Zacchaeus had to have a hard time figuring out what was going on. A Messiah fighting Rome would not be good for Zacchaeus. He would lose his wealth. He would lose his future wealth. He would lose everything. But then there was this call in his life that made him want to see Jesus in a much broader context than just visually see. He was called, and when he'd been given faith to seek Jesus, so he sought out Jesus, and he was rewarded by Jesus coming to his house. I want you to think about the scene from Jesus' perspective for a moment. He stopped in Jericho to seek out a man, a lowlife of a man, on his way to the most painful death imaginable. And yet he stopped to see Zacchaeus. A traitor, a lowlife, a thief. But it must be to see Zacchaeus and his salvific needs. Jesus is that involved in the salvation of each one of us. He knows each one of us. Go back to Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Just so I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Joy in heaven for each one of us who repents and turns to follow Jesus. Of course, we only turn to follow Jesus when he calls us and has given us the desire to follow him. It's all a gift to us, a gift that we don't pay for, but that he expects us then to respond to following him and to being obedient to him. To follow Jesus means we go in the same direction as Jesus. And that requires us obedience. Father, thank you for allowing us to see who you are and to see what you've done and how you work in our lives. Father, we love you. Our desire is to serve you and to be obedient to you, to always do what you call us to do. Father, you call us. You instill in us the ability to seek you, otherwise we wouldn't seek you. And then you tell us to listen to you and to be obedient to you, so we trust that we would do that today. Father, our desire is to always be obedient, to love, and to do what you want us to do. Thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.